Hello, Agape Church and friends. Welcome in to the Building Up Podcast. This is episode number 132. As I record this podcast, we are starting a brand new preaching series at Agape Church. This is July of 2023. This is going to take us through probably the end of November. We're going to be studying the New Testament letter of Colossians. The title of our series is Christ is All. Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul on behalf of the church in Colossae, and it is a letter that very clearly, very distinctly holds up the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus, especially to a church in Colossae that apparently was facing some doubts about those things. There were people apparently from within the church that were giving in to other religious beliefs that were being added on to Christianity, added on to the gospel. They weren't necessarily being pulled away from the gospel into an entirely new religion or belief system, but rather there were people that were trying to add to the Christian gospel and say, for a full religious experience or a full experience with God, you need Christ plus something else, whether it was angelic worship, or whether it was certain types of disciplines or food that you would eat or not eat, probably some Judaism roots there in that portion of it. But there was a lot that was going on, and being told, you need to do these things in order to have this full experience of God. And so Paul is writing to the church in Colossae to say, no, Christ is enough. Christ is all. Focus on Him. He is supreme above all things, all people, and He is enough. What He has done is enough, and the message about Him is enough. So it's a beautiful letter, and I'm really looking forward to us going through it as a church over the next few months, and probably on the podcast as well. We'll kind of see how that unfolds. But I can definitely see, even this first week as we get into the series, there's just portions of the text that I really won't have time to do justice and really preach fully on a Sunday morning. And so at least this week, I'm going to use the podcast to point something out that's in the first chapter of Colossians that's going to be kind of in addition to the sermon, and we may do some more of these, Lord willing, going forward. So we'll just see how that works out. But today I want to focus on verse 7 in Colossians chapter 1. And again, Paul writing to the church there, and he's talking about the gospel, the true gospel. And he says that it is bearing fruit all over the world. It is increasing in number. And he says that that's what's happened among you as well, that this gospel, when it was taught to you, that it started even on that very day that you heard it, it started bearing spiritual fruit in your life, and then it has increased among you as other people have believed this gospel and the church has grown. And he goes back to the person who taught it to him, Epaphras, and he mentions in verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And in verse 8, he said, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So Paul is writing from prison in Rome, and the we, or the plural that you hear there, he is speaking on, you know, with his fellow co-workers, other people who are there with him, perhaps not in prison, but are ministering to him and ministering with him from where he is in Rome in prison. Some of those names are listed at the end of the letter to the Colossians. Some are also mentioned at the end of the letter to Philemon. We believe that both Colossians and Philemon were written at the same time. Philemon is a personal pastoral letter that Paul wrote, and Philemon actually lived in Colossae, so they were probably written at the same time and delivered at the same time. Paul is writing to this church, and he's never visited the church. He's never been among these people. He did not start this church. Epaphras is apparently the person who did that. And so what scholars think happened is that Paul many years earlier when he was in Ephesus for an extended time period, 2 or 3 years, and he was preaching the gospel there, that Epaphras had come from Colossae, was about 100 miles away, and that he had heard the Apostle Paul preaching and teaching the gospel. He believed in Christ, and then he went home. And when he got home to Colossae, he started sharing the gospel that he had learned. And so now Epaphras becomes the teacher. He becomes the one who is sharing the gospel with others in his hometown, and they believe in the gospel. It starts bearing fruit among them. It starts increasing, and a church there is formed. And so now, a few years later, Paul is writing to this church as they struggle through a threat of false teaching, false teachers who want to pull them away from that original gospel that they had heard from Epaphras. But what I want to focus on for a few moments in verse 7 is this term that Paul uses. It just really stood out to me. He calls Epaphras a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Now, I really just love that phrase. And when I read it, I thought, wow, that is such a beautiful testimony. Like, I want that to be said of me. You know, I'm someone who, you know, I feel called to a very distinct role and have been given the opportunity to live out that role in the church, and that is to be a pastor. And if I think about how I want people to think of me and to be able to say about me, I can't think of something better. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, on behalf of the church that I have been assigned to. It's just a beautiful, it's beautiful language. And, you know, Paul, I won't get too far into this, but this is, it's not really Paul's normative writing style to mention his fellow co-workers this early in one of his letters. You know, if he has someone who's actually helping him write or writing, you know, maybe as a co-author of a letter, he'll mention them early in the letter. But a lot of times mentioning some of those co-workers comes toward the end. Him mentioning Epaphras at the very beginning shows probably a couple of things. One, that the regard that Paul had for this man. And at the same time, he was probably trying to help bridge that gap, right? So this church is hearing from him. They've never met him before. And he says, well, I want you to know I'm an apostle. I'm writing to you as an apostle. But also Epaphras, who you know, you've heard the gospel from him. He's the founder of the church there. He is my fellow worker. And so he then puts Epaphras before the church and says he is a faithful, faithful minister of Christ. Now, you know, how does that help us, right, today in our, you know, in our lives? You know, certainly the office of minister, I mean, there is an office of minister in the church. That word minister, it's diakonos, it's a Greek word that means servant. It's where we get deacon and deaconess. So Paul could be referring to Epaphras in that specific office, but also just the general term of he is a servant. And he is a servant of Christ on your behalf. That phrase, the fact that Paul puts that he is a servant of Christ, is a reminder that in all the work that Epaphras was doing to travel to Ephesus, to hear the gospel, to be saved, to return to Colossae, to preach the gospel there, all of that was a work of Jesus. That as Epaphras was preaching the gospel in Colossae and people were coming to know the gospel and he is helping them to learn it and he is ministering to them, he is doing that for Christ. He is a minister of Jesus and he is working on behalf of the church in Colossae. And maybe if, you know, you are in a position where you have some type of position in a church, you know, that stirs you. So if you were a pastor, a teacher, maybe a small group leader, maybe you have a recognized position in your church. And so you look at that and you say, well, okay, that's what I want to do. You know, I am a minister in my church. I want to do that job well. I want to do that role well. I want to be faithful to Jesus in this role that he's placed me in. But I think it goes beyond just those people who are in that official office. Because if you look at the teaching of the New Testament, you see that our lives are not a product of just the decisions that we make. And the roles that we have and the places that we find ourselves are not simply just things that we've done, but rather who we are and where we are and who we're around is all a product of God's will. It's all a product of what God is doing in our life and where God has placed us, the things that He has ordained for us to do. You think about Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, this beautiful passage, verse 10 in Ephesians 2 says that Christians, we are His workmanship. Okay, so He's the one that's working on us. He's the one building us. He's the one shaping us and molding us. We're His workmanship. And we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's an amazing passage that as a Christian, God has planned for there to be certain good things that you do, certain good works that you do in His name, and He has prepared those for you to do even beforehand, even before you were a believer, even before your life existed. God had already been planning this work that He was going to do in you and through you. And so when you really start thinking about that, it's not just the church roles that have this weight of responsibility to be faithful to Jesus. But every role that you have in your life, every circumstance that you find yourself in, is falling under the sovereignty of God. His workmanship. You're His workmanship. It's His handiwork. So, you know, if you're married, or if you plan to one day be married, you're not just going to be in a marriage because you made that decision, but God has planned this for you. And He has planned that there are certain good works that you would do as a spouse. If you're a parent or one day be a parent or a grandparent, again, God has given you that role. And there are certain good works that He intends for you to do to your children or your grandchildren or as a child. You have a responsibility to your parents. God has ordained that. When you're young, it's to submit to them out of submission to Christ. When you're older and your parents get older, maybe it's becoming a caretaker for them and helping them in their older age. But God has ordained for those things to happen. He has ordained for there to be those good works that you walk in. You have your career that maybe has come from your talents and things that you're good at. And the Bible says you should work in that position, work in that career the way as if you're working for Jesus, not man. So again, there it is that God's ordained that. And He ordains that you would work and do these good works, even in your career, even in your job, to glorify Him. Or being a citizen, you know, of a neighborhood or of a state. Just we're called as believers to be good citizens. And again, it's something that God has ordained for His people. He's planned ahead of time. The picture that I'm trying to give us is that it's not just those who work in a church or have an office in a church that are faithful ministers of Christ. We are ministers of Christ, all of us, as believers. We're His ministers that we are sent out into the world. If we're a parent, we are to be a minister of Jesus to our children. If we're a spouse, we're to be a minister of Jesus to our spouse, to our coworkers. In the church that He's put us in, it may not be an office that we hold, but we have responsibility in the church to love one another and use our spiritual gifts to build one another up. Again, that is a work of ministry of Jesus. If that career that you have, you minister to your coworkers, you minister in your career with your talents and your gifts over and over, those relationships and those roles that we have are not just chance. They're not just the decisions that we have made. And then when we get to a church setting, you know, maybe the pastor or the ministers there, they have responsibility to Jesus. We have responsibility to Jesus in everything that we do. And this is taught us in the New Testament. Jesus taught parables about wise and foolish stewards, those who have been given the management of someone else's resources, and they are to manage it in a way that is faithful and good. And he's talking about believers and about Christians, that in all that we're doing, we're managing resources that are not our own, but whether it's breath or time or money or relationships, that those are things God has put in our hands, and we're to manage them in a faithful way. So back to this verse, verse 7. Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, Colossians, but you can look at your life in that verse. So whatever your name, you are a minister of Christ on behalf of your church, on behalf of your spouse, on behalf of your children, on behalf of your coworkers. It's important that we think about our lives that way. It's important that we try to daily consider, I am in this role, I am in this relationship for a reason. God has me here. I am to be a minister of Christ to this person, to this family, to this organization. I am to bear good works here that would glorify him and point to Jesus. He has told me to do that. He has prepared those things beforehand, before I ever knew that I would have this relationship or this circumstance. He has prepared it for me ahead of time, that I would be faithful and I would do good works. We need that mindset in every bit of our life. Otherwise, we'll start thinking, oh yeah, the ministers of Jesus are those, the clergy in our church, those who are holding an official office. But I think this dynamic is all throughout the New Testament, that all of us are an Epaphras. You know, we may not be someone who's going to hear the gospel and go plant a church, although we might, but we are someone who's supposed to hear the gospel and then share it and live it out to the people and in the situations that God has put us in. And that's what it means to be a faithful minister of Christ. You know, I don't want you to think, okay, that's right. I've been called by God to be a spouse or to be a parent, or to be, you know, in this job, and so I need to do better. You know, I need to get to work on time, or I need to be more diligent at what I'm doing, be kind to people. I need to love my spouse better. I need to do more around the house. I need to read to my kids. I mean, you know, those things are important, and there may be disciplines and things in your life that you do need to do differently, thinking of that mindset that Christ has put me here, and I am to be a minister in this relationship. But that's not where I want us to start in our thinking. A faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. I think it's very purposeful that Paul puts there that you are first and foremost a faithful minister of Christ. That means that your ministry to anyone else is rooted in your relationship with Jesus. So how do you become more faithful at what God has given you to do? The answer is not immediately, hey, you do better. There may be things you need to do differently or better, but don't start there. Because if you start there, then it's just going to become this work of self-discipline, and you'll probably burn yourself out trying to figure out, well, how do I do everything better? Being a faithful minister of Jesus is first and foremost staying close to Christ. It is abiding with him. It's what we talk about in this podcast over and over. Staying close to Jesus in prayer, spending time with him to say, Jesus, you have made me a husband or a wife. You have made me a parent, a son or a daughter. You have made me into this career. I am in this church. You have chosen that beforehand. You had planned good works for me to do. So please help me. Please help me to reflect your character. Please help me to do the good that you have planned for me to do. I can't do this on my own. That type of attitude and staying close to Christ every day, that is the beginning of being a faithful minister in the place that he has put you, to the people that he has placed you in their lives. Being a faithful minister starts in that relationship with Jesus. So it's not just for Epaphras. He was a beloved servant of Paul, a faithful minister to the church in Colossae, a faithful minister of Jesus. But you have called to be the same. You are called also to be a minister of Jesus to the people that he has put you in their lives, that he has given you a role or a responsibility. And the way that you stay faithful, the way that I stay faithful, is clinging to Christ and abiding with him and asking for his character and his works to come through us to those people that he has placed around us. Thank you for joining me today on this episode of the podcast. I hope you'll do the same on the next one. Until then, grace and peace to your family. Thank you for listening to the Building Up Podcast, a ministry of Agape Church in Pinson, Alabama. If you have a question about today's podcast or would like to suggest a topic for the future, please email us, buildingup@agapepinson.com. To subscribe to this podcast, simply search for Building Up from Agape Church in your favorite podcast app. Son, I've given you victory.